You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 29th, 2018. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where our motto is, keep fucking that chicken restaurant. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
I don't know, Driftglass. That's not very civil.
I know. You know what I did, Blue Gal? You know what I did?
What?
Because Marco Rubio swung into action this week.
He did.
In many, many big, important ways. Because, first of all, he blames both sides for everything. He's back to that. You might remember that on The Daily Show, he nearly expired out of breath from saying the word both sides too many times.
Yes, he did.
But he really does pine for the good old days when people didn't use the word fuck, by which I assume he means the 14th century, since that word has a long and beautiful and glorious history used by noble people, by kings, by paupers, by queens, by everybody. So fuck you, Marco Rubio.
Everyone on Twitter was saying that. Yeah.
And we will include a link to the Archaic Dictionary, which has a fucking history of fuck. Enjoy that.
Cool. Let's everybody take a deep breath. Let's start the show with a deep breath, shall we?
And don't forget to exhale, because that's what people often make that mistake.
They don't let it out.
And then you hold your breath till someone else goes and changes democracy, and it doesn't work. So let's all breathe.
No, oxygen is still free, and you got to use it. And I have had the shingles this week.
Yes.
And I don't usually talk about my personal health. I was in the hospital last year and we did a whole podcast and I included the saga of that. And then I deleted the whole thing because I thought this is TMI. This is not interesting to our listeners. But the reason I'm bringing this up, I'm much better and we caught it early and got on the right medication. I have good insurance. I pay for it, but I've got good insurance.
Yep.
Everybody go get your shingle shot.
Yeah.
That's really what I wanted. The reason I'm bringing this up is, yes, go get your shingle shot. Very important. And that's enough of that. I want to do a shout out to a couple listeners. Steven wrote us this morning, and I thought this made me feel good because it was such perfect timing for him to say, why don't you guys ever mention the Poor People's Project? And we are very familiar with the works of the Reverend William Barber.
Yeah, Reverend William Barber.
We, take you to church every weekend. Absolutely. And what was funny about him mentioning that, and you should go and Google Poor People's Project. William Barber is an amazing person. I have sent $5 to his ministry back in the days of Moral Mondays, which I believe he's still doing. Yeah. And $5 makes a difference, folks. I'm telling you. Exactly. That's what you do. If you see something, send $5.
Any usher in any church, and $5
any usher in any church will tell you, $5 makes a difference. We are teaching Sunday school, adult Sunday school, this weekend.
Yeah.
And the curriculum, which is a nationwide curriculum that people use or don't use, it depending on what they want to do, is on the Poor People's Campaign. So... and I had already discussed this with you, and I said, I think we're going to use this one and Poor People's Campaign. Let's do it. And then this morning got this email from Steven saying, why don't you ever mention this? Like, oh, my gosh. So perfect. OK.
Because like most other godless Midwestern liberals, we are married. I have 3 stepkids. My wife has 3 kids. They're the same kids. We participate very actively in our every local civic organization that will have us. My wife's a liturgist at church. I used to be an usher until they retired, until I quit to teach Sunday school.
We teach. That's what you did.
Yeah, we did. And so my Sunday school is an adult discussion group of matters of the day, usually.
And they're dirty hippies and union organizers mostly, too. Yeah,
like most of the other liberals who go to our church. And we also do a writing class in the evening for just how to sort of get your soul out on paper and how to clear minds and clear your thoughts and get yourself straight using journaling, using writing, using writing the tool, because that's something we know how to do. So believe me, this puts us in all kinds of weird Venn diagrams with everyone else.
Right.
And we like it that way.
We do. And I also want to do a shout out to Jim, who wrote us this afternoon. And we are recording on Friday for a lot of reasons. Jim said, this seems like a chop wood, carry water kind of week. It certainly does. Chop wood, carry water, you know, part infinity, as Ten Grain would say. Yeah. We just got to keep going. And we've got an election coming up and there's a lot to do. And I realize everyone had this huge, huge setback this week with the Supreme Court making decisions that were so counter to what they should be doing. Yeah. I mean, that's it. And then Anthony Kennedy retiring. And then it turns out his son is Donald Trump's banker in Germany. Yeah. And
Bagman.
It's just, there's so much corruption. There's so much weird stuff. And it's, you just keep flipping over rocks. And every time you do, there's another Russian, there's another bank situation, there's another corruption thing. And it just, it goes on and on.
And just so you know, the idea of blitzing people with so many crises and events and tweets, except tweets, is a strategy. It is a strategy totalitarians have used since time immemorial. Just keep people so blown away, off balance by everything's an emergency, everything's shaken up. Hey, guess what? We're getting out of the World Trade Organization. Guess what? Mm-hmm. We're going to break up NATO. Guess what? And then, of course, it helps to have your quisling Republican Congress doing your bidding every day on television by holding hearings. Holding hearings. The only thing the House of Representatives does now under Republican rule is generate sound bites for Fox
News.
That's it. That is all they do. And if they keep blasting that and blasting that, because they know that very soon all this will be taken away from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Time is,
and they have to,
of the essence for them. Absolutely. Yeah.
They have to grab. So while you and I are watching normal television, Blue Gown, our dear friends on the right are watching RubeTube.
Yeah.
Yes. Our sponsor this week is, in fact, RubeTube. Is your deplorable past coming back to haunt your depraved present? If the phrase Merrick Garland is being used in your vicinity, well, the customer fulfillment vertical synergy integrators at RubeTube have a special SCOTUS 4th of July democracy going out of business sale just for you. Just type in the offer code Federalist Society and begin to enjoy soothing 100% fact-filtered news today. RubeTube, it's Fox News without Shep Smith.
Hey, Driftglass, I have a little quiz for our listeners that I have read to you before. This is from June 20th of this year. So just, you know, 9 days ago. It is a analyst on a cable news show. And I would like our listeners to hear this and tell me, think in your mind, who is saying this? All right.
I know you know who's saying this. I have the teacher's copies of the notes.
I'm going to read this. It's just three sentences, so no big deal. Three or four sentences, no big deal. Just listen to this and tell me, or think in your mind, who is saying these words?
Yes.
Analyst on cable news. All right.
Yes.
Look, first of all, I don't know that anybody on the corruption side of this is necessarily safe. But it unravels gradually, and it keeps unraveling. It's going to keep unraveling some more. Every week that goes by, we learn new things. They are horrifying things. You have a total disregard for the American tradition, a total disregard for the truth. These people don't care. I believe that people who want to preserve the rule of law have to keep the pressure up. Okay, that's the end of the quote.
It's a tough one.
Think about it for just a minute. One. Yeah, and all right.
Let me make a ding-dong sound.
Ding, ding.
Okay.
And you know who this is.
I do.
This is Newton Leroy Gingrich talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
9 days ago on Hannity.
Yep.
And he's just taking a factual statement about the Trump administration and saying it to Hannity about Hillary. It's why work at it? You know, why do creative writing when you can just tell the truth and say it's about Hillary?
It just copy paste what the left is saying, because let's face it, if you're dumb enough, if you're livestock brained enough to be watching Fox News you'll never know the difference. Right. You never leave. Right. You know, it's the Hotel California for you, right, man. You never leave Fox News. So you never find out the truth. By the way, this is also the week, I believe, that Newt Gingrich chastised people for using rude and naughty language.
He did.
And divisive language. And but this is, by the way, and don't get outraged about this. Newt Gingrich is just a soulless, lying robot. Yeah. So you can't get mad at him because he's just scum. Don't get mad.
It's not worth it. No.
But the reason Newt Gingrich exists at all in our current politics is because people like David Gregory and Chuck Todd kept his career alive on Meet the Press, on network news, kept giving him credibility. Newt Gingrich would go out, fuck up horribly, say terribly mean, deranged, hateful, bomb-throwing, divisive things, and the next week he'd be on Meet the Press and treated like a lost, long-lost uncle. And this happened over and over and over again for years.
After being kicked out of the Congress for corruption and three wives and cheating on two wives and on. I mean, he's a dreadful person.
Hasn't held political office since Ally McBeal was on television. But
his wife is ambassador to the Vatican, Driftglass.
And the reason for that is NBC TV under David Gregory kept rehabilitating his career like they do with every other corrupt, lying Republican scumbag over and over again. So that's
and they did it because he speaks in sound bites. He shows up on time to be on the show, and he lends quote unquote credibility with a certain Republican audience that wants to hear. And I think you've said this before, Driftglass, about Newt Gingrich, that he takes the room temperature of the intelligence of the room and realizes he has several IQ points above everybody else in terms of certainly in terms of mastering language. In an evil way.
Right. Well, that's his whole thing.
Machiavelli. He's capable of doing, you know,
and the point
taking
being
the total page out of 1984 and running with it.
That he is the godfather of teaching Republican office holders to call liberals traitors and liars and monsters and depraved.
Anti-family.
All the time, every day. He had a PAC that did that. It was his signature move. He's been teaching this for 25, 30 years. And and I don't blame Newt Gingrich, who is, you know, is like a feral animal. He doesn't understand the concept of guilt or sin. So it's hard to, you know, get under his skin about these things. The person who is to blame for this is David Gregory. Because you can find a million people who can do good sound bites. And I know that your primary motive on television is to sell dick pills and reverse mortgages to as many people as possible. But the idea that you would have Newt Gingrich on over and over again and never mention the shit he did yesterday, that you're packed with that particular devil, is never bringing up the shit he said yesterday. That's where you absolutely betrayed your profession, Gregory. That's where you stabbed your own profession in the back over and over again just to keep Newt Gingrich's career alive. Journalist.
And he won the 2012 Georgia primary.
He did.
In the Republican Party. And, you know, there were reporters going down to Georgia to ask Newt Gingrich voters why they voted the way they did. And did you know he was kicked out of the House? And did you know he had three wives? And did you know he cheated on two wives and had a 6-year affair with Callista? And so, and these voters had no idea about any of that. Mm-hmm. They knew he was from Georgia because he said so on his ads.
Yes.
So they voted for him.
Yeah.
Now, I know we need to move on, but we lost somebody this week.
We did. We lost a lot of people. This is a bad year for losing people.
Yeah, it is.
But my friend Harlan Ellison passed away yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I can call him my friend because Harlan Ellison and I talked on the phone for about a year and a half, a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
We exchanged mail. We exchanged stories. He liked a graphic I did of him. I was present at his he had a little chat page. I go over there every now and then and say things. And once upon a time, I literally saved his ass on there because he did not understand how the internet worked and put his phone number out there for the public to see. Now Harlan Ellison famously would answer his own phone and kept it listed for a number of years. I have his phone number, or what was his phone number. But I immediately contacted his wife and said, are you sure you want to do this? And oh crap. And they got their web administrator taken down and so on and so forth. But he'd come on there, he'd chat with people. And he liked a graphic I did of him. I sent that along to him. And then a mutual friend of ours, the guy who did a video of him or a movie about him, that has the quote pay the fucking writer. That clip I run every so often when right. I remind people that writers don't actually work for free, or they become former writers because they they have to earn a living. Put us in touch with each other. And Harlan took a deep interest in one of my stories that had never been published. And he asked for a copy. He sent a copy back to me with his own hand editing in it. It was deeply, he read very deeply into it, asked some very shrewd questions. He's a good editor. And then sent it along in one of his signature purple envelopes to the editor of a major magazine. And with a note saying, please put this on top of your pile and consider it, because I know the guy, it's a terrific story. I think you should consider it. And I got a very nice note from the man saying that this is a very fine story. We just don't publish stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
That was that.
It was a genre problem, not a quality problem. Yeah. Right.
But we talked politics, and we talked about I was his man in Chicago for a while. You know, we talked politics. Mm-hmm. We talked about Barack Obama. His opinion was Obama was way too nice of a guy to do what was necessary. I said, I love the guy. He's great. He's very smart, but he's not mean enough, which is something that Harlan Ellison is going to say.
Harlan was specialized in being mean enough.
And it's hard, man. This he's a towering figure in.
It's a different world today than it was before he died. I mean,
somebody pointed out that without the glass teat, his book on television criticism, media criticism today would not be the same. He didn't invent a genre, but he certainly contributed to magic realism. He got a whole bunch of writers, including Octavia Butler, from obscurity to fame, and edited them and taught them how to be good writers. And his influence is just ripples out in every direction. He also was a deeply flawed person and got angry about a lot of things and did great and terrible things in his life. He had a great wife. I got to meet him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And it was an honor to know him, and it was an honor to be sort of his friend for a while and sort of hike a trail with him for a little while. And I will miss him terribly, because there's no more Harlan Ellison stories coming. But his work is out there forever.
That's right.
And so,
rest in peace. Our deepest sympathy to his wife.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Helen. Right? All right. Let's talk about Steve Schmidt. Steve Schmidt, highs and lows. You know, highs and lows.
Okay, go ahead.
Tuesday night, Steve Schmidt was on All In, and he did an amazing job identifying why Donald Trump is an authoritarian, why Donald Trump is a danger to our democracy and our democratic institutions, and why it is necessary to vote Republicans out of office in order to save our country and save the world that was built after World War II, which is worth saving. And that message came across, went viral. Very, very good. The next morning, Steve Schmidt was on Morning Joe. And it was post-election morning. A Democratic socialist Latina woman was elected, received the Democratic nomination for the House over Joe Crowley. And I need to look her name up because I want to pronounce it right. She won. He lost. Joe Crowley was a class act. He played Born to Run for her on his guitar and, had never had an opponent before at all.
Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. She, to me, seems like such an amazing candidate for New York City. Mm-hmm. Just she's articulate. She's reasonable. She comes across as reasonable, but she also comes across as very insistent about moral values and where our resources go.
You know what she's reminded me of, Blue Gal? A Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat.
Yeah, she reminds me of that, too. Uh-huh. Yep. So Steve Schmidt comes on Morning Joe that morning after this triumphant performance Tuesday night, where he really identified what was going on and what was wrong with Donald Trump's racism, with his authoritarianism, with his damage to our democratic institutions. And he starts wagging his finger about Democratic socialist candidate.
You know, we're $30 trillion in debt, Blue Gal, and you can't give everyone a government job. What we have is dishonest progressivism, and then we have dishonest Trumpism and an alienated middle that surrenders, that breaks their will to fight. And to that I say, this is why you can't fucking trust a never-Trumper.
You can never turn your back on a never-Trumper.
No, because they will knife you in the back. The minute they get a chance to straddle a fence, the minute they get the chance, they will fucking take it. And they'll take the microphone away from you and start explaining why the only reasonable position is the position I'm taking right now, which is in the center. There's an
tax cuts for millionaires is okay. And paying money to so that a poor woman in Mississippi has clean running water is really a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that gets us to the Tea Party of the left, right?
this is maddening. There are two things this week that were maddening.
Yeah.
And were handled very well, I think, by all of us on the left.
Yes.
This idea of, oh, this is just like the Tea Party. They're taking over against the establishment candidate.
Yes.
And I was actually pleased that Lawrence, of all people, Lawrence O'Donnell said, no, this is demographic change in the district. A guy who's never had, he's an old Irish Poll who's never had a primary opponent before to speak of. And here comes this young, articulate, organized, supported by the internet candidate.
Cheerful, optimistic.
Cheerful, optimistic.
Focused.
Energy,
hopeful.
Energy, energy, and values, talking about our values.
That's right.
And guys, I got to tell you something. New York had, in the boroughs, 10% turnout.
Yeah, that was just pathetic.
Pathetic.
Now,
you know,
maybe
she had 12,000 votes total in her district.
Maybe because
and she won.
Such a lock that there was no point in it.
But that's the thing. It's not a lock.
Right.
That was a competitive race.
Right.
That was two Democrats running against each other. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, it's Democrats. So you don't have to worry about them taking away your health insurance. Mm-hmm. So you're this. It's lethargy. It's, you know, it just, it bugs me so much.
It's what I call political herd immunity.
Yeah.
You know, the idea
I don't
that
have to worry.
I don't have to get my shots because everyone else has got their shots and they'll keep the disease at bay. And that is how Donald Trump got to be fucking president.
Exactly. There's
a whole bunch of people decided they didn't have to participate or they could be precious or vote for a third party or just sit.
Or they could vote for Trump as a joke.
Yeah.
And there were people doing that. Because
just, you know, they're both bad. You know, look at those emails. And people in the media, this went on way past the failsafe point because they thought, oh, Hillary's going to win. Everyone knows that. And I can just dunk on her all day long and there'll be no consequences because other people will do the hard work of keeping the democracy running. And it turned out they were wrong. And those people need to wake the hell up. Now, the flip side of that is the Tea Party of the left is an invention.
Right.
Because
just like the responsibility, it is the responsibility of liberal voters to make sure that, you know, Obama-Trump voters find their way home.
Right. Here's a cookie. Do you need another cookie?
We have to be civil to everyone.
Do you need to blow your nose? Do you need to have your bottom wiped? No, grow the fuck up and vote like an adult human being. I'm tired.
Like a citizen who cares about your own issues.
Yeah. And if
right.
I need to buy you a lollipop every time that you decide, I don't want to do democracy anymore. Democracy is hard. I like the guy with the orange who gives me stuff. Then you're on the other team. There's nothing I can say to you. I can't reach out and slap everyone, blue gal. but the flip side of that is the maddening part for me, the multiplier, is that there is no Tea Party of the right. Go Google Drift Class. There is no Tea Party. You'll find 70 posts I wrote going back to the day the Tea Party announced. There never was a Tea Party. All the Republicans did was rebrand their racist moron base and as a Tea Party. They put them in funny hats and gave them little Gadsden flags to wave and said, call yourself independent. Call yourself a Tea Party. And the media who absolutely...
Constitutional conservative, your class.
I don't know. And suddenly the media was like, where are all these independents coming from? Look, there's a brand new grassroots movement out there of independents who have nothing to do with politics, but somehow they agree with Republicans on every goddamn issue. And they hate Barack Obama because he's from Kenya.
And all of them are Glenn Beck listeners.
Yep.
Glenn Beck
Well,
$90 billion. Yeah. This was a Glenn Beck fan club meeting. And Glenn Beck was paid $1 million to promote this, to promote these tea parties.
Oh, the Fox News had people out coast to coast. Yep. They had a special on the tax day special, and it was all about the tea party. Tea party this, tea party that. Well, there never was a tea party. The same degenerate, depraved morons who voted for Bush one and Bush two and called you a traitor for the last 30 years, just put on funny hats, said that they were independent, and the press left them alone. Because the press does not want people held accountable for what they did during the Bush administration, because if they do that, eventually someone's going to come and ask, what the hell were you doing when George Bush was lying into the wrong war? So they
were covering the bombings because it was good ratings. And that's just how your business works. If anybody thinks there's no difference between Fox and MSNBC, please note that Fox sent their reporters, quote unquote, mm-hmm. to tea parties around the country to promote these and draw people to these crazy, meaningless, mm-hmm. anti-Obama racist meetings. And MSNBC sent several of their correspondents and anchors to Texas,
yeah.
to the border,
yeah.
to try to find out about these kids.
Exactly. And one other thing, I do want to add one other thing. The reason mm-hmm. I know there was no Tea Party ever, and this was all bullshit, yeah. and the reporters goddamn well knew it. So again, you and I and the rest of the American people were being lied to about what was going on inside the Republican Party for financial and political gain by the media, is that years after the sin had been committed and everyone had forgotten, and we're all and the word Tea Party had been worked into the vocabulary, and we'd all pretended that this was a some sort of grassroots thing that just happened. People as disparate as Joe Scarborough and David Brooks both said publicly, "Oh no, there was never a Tea Party. There's no Tea Party. They're all Republicans." Joe Scarborough said, "Oh yeah, I walked past the television and looked and said, oh, those are my constituents. Ha, they're calling themselves a Tea Party. There's no Tea Party." They all knew about it. Again, this the number of giant lies that have been fobbed off on the American people so that Joe Scarborough and David Brooks can keep their fucking jobs is staggering. At the end of the day, once you keep lying about the monstrous cancer growing inside the GOP for decades, you have no business being surprised that out pops Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. We're going to rally tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
We'll be at the Old State Capitol Plaza in Springfield, Illinois, mm-hmm. 11 a.m. Saturday, June 30th, for the Families Belong Together rally. They're all over the country, and you should look up hashtag Families Belong Together, mm-hmm. plug in your zip code, and go.
Well, we'll be at the State Capitol tomorrow, Old State Capitol, not the new State Capitol, Saturday. The
no, old State Capitol. Capitol. There's a lot of state capitals around here, okay?
They're everywhere. You can't keep them straight.
Don't wind up at the wrong one. People do. Mm-hmm. People do wind up at the wrong state capitol. It's so sad. Yes, but anyway, this is old. Oh, so it is going to be at Old State Capitol Plaza. Really? Yep. That's a better place.
It is. It's more room. I think it's Illinois' bicentennial. So I believe the actual state capitol is currently in use as some sort of Lincoln rally.
The bicentennial of the state of Illinois. Yeah. Yes. But that plaza is close to cars. The new state capitol is another place where they have rallies, and it's pretty much a wide, it's Second Avenue. It's a big street, and cars go through it, and they don't close it. So this is better. Anyway, we'll be there. We'll be there. We want you to be there at yours, and tweet it, and share it, and be there. And I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be a big deal. We need to talk about SCOTUS.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Did you know Mitch McConnell, when he went before the Senate this week and said that he was quite sure it was going to be an excellent nominee and that we should with all post haste get it right confirmed and for Donald Trump and it'll be good and everything. Do you realize he wore a tan suit when he said that?
I do. That's his. I don't care.
That's the gigantic. Jacket. I don't care to you jacket. Exactly. Gotta talk. Trey Gowdy. And the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse on that House committee.
Well, and let's give a little background. This week there was a House committee meeting designed specifically, as we mentioned earlier, to generate mm-hmm. outrage sound bites for Fox News idiots to get angry about. No one on this earth pays me enough to watch that. So I just picked up the scraps as they came out of Charlie Pierce's pen, but it was a show trial. It was a Stalinist show trial. We're going to put you under the spotlight and scream at you for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Except there were several Democrats on that committee that did not get the Twitter play that, that Republicans did, because the Republicans made for anyone who has a normal functioning brain cell. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And Rod Rosenstein just, He bulldozed them. He bulldozed them with facts. And Wonka asked the question of why are these Republicans choosing to die on the Hill for these FISA warrants, which are actual pieces of paper reviewed by federal judges proving collusion with Russia. And the reason is that term is like Benghazi. It's something that is just repeated over and over and over again on Hannity as being some nefarious thing. Mm-hmm. And so it no longer has any actual meaning in Fox world.
No, it's a magic. It's a magic conjure word. Up. Yeah,
exactly. It's a conjure word. Mm-hmm. That's why they are not trying to defend any of the people who have pled guilty in the Trump Russia investigation. No. It has no meaning. FISA has no meaning.
Well, as you know, Donald Trump was completely exonerated by a report that had nothing to do with the Russia
IG report.
But he said that happened, and the meatheads went,
And they had a closed session. It should have been an open session, but they had a closed session where Peter Strzok was interviewed. He wants the transcript released. The Democrats on the committee want it released, and the Republicans will not release it because they want to make up what he said and tell Hannity what he said and leak fake news as to what he said. Jim Jordan, whose performance was classic, waved around about a sheaf full of paper saying, press reports, these press reports say that you did these things. And Rod Rosenstein said, I didn't do those things. Well, I got to read this press report.
And from what press was that, Lugal?
Right. And it was a printout of an internet article on FoxNews.com that was a hit piece about Rod Rosenstein.
No, this is Dick Cheney leaking to the New York Times and then going on Meet the Press and saying, "Well, I read it in the New York Times. This is a man literally taking the shit out of his own pants and quoting it as an authoritative source.
Exactly.
This turd here says that you, sir, are a traitor. I just saw you pull that out of your own ass. You're out of order, sir. You're out of order." Uh-huh.
But I loved what Rod Rosenstein did, which is, I'm telling the truth because I'm under oath. If you'd like to bring one of your staff under oath and have them talk about these press reports, you're certainly free to
do so. Rock and roll, people. You know, that reminds me of a quote. It was at Rollins, right? Henry Rollins?
Yeah, Henry Rollins. Yeah. Yes. This is what Joe Strummer trained you
this
for.
This is the moment you've been...
Right? This is punk rock time.
It's time to just get up. And here's the thing. There are a few Never Trumpers who make a little bit of sense. So, for example, Jennifer Rubin said that every Democrat running for the House should play a clip of Jim Jordan. This is today's GOP nuts, rude, and irresponsible. And it's absolutely true. Yeah. I did pick up a little bit of Digby as it was floating past me on the Twitter machine. And her takes are always worth reading. Hillary Clinton was last in government 6 years ago, and yet I'm watching Republicans on my TV exercise their oversight duties by pounding on the dried, bleached bones of the dead email horse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that is on one side of the equation. And standing in the middle of the equation is courtesy class again. We're all locked inside. Man, this the joke I told about Harlan Ellison that cracked me up, at least, it maybe no one else did, was that ironically Harlan Ellison died on his way to mandatory courtesy class. we libtards who live behind the keyboard are required to take now. But word also has it that he was dressed as a harlequin carrying a monkey wrench, which if you've read any Harlan Ellison, you'll know what that means. But again, it doesn't matter how berserk the Republican Congress becomes, because the center will always say, well, look at the social justice warriors over there. Look at all the lefties over there. And it's all courtesy class all the time. Because if that ever breaks, if that ever shatters, and this was the week where David Brooks and a bunch of other people, but I use him as a proxy, renewed his vows with the last true Scotsman. he found that last goddamn true Scotsman, true conservative Scotsman, and he married him in public without shame. Because Anthony Kennedy said it was okay to marry, a person of the same sex. David Brooks, and today it was Andrew Sullivan, and tomorrow it'll be somebody else, and yesterday it was 2 weeks ago it was someone else, are all discovering that true conservatism is actually centrism, Blue Gal. It actually is the... There are no, all these people over there on the right who've been doing these horrifying things. You know when conservatism was great 200 years ago? You know what's going to be great again 200 years from now? But right now, well, who knows what the fuck happened? And it is just beyond me that this, that someone keeps paying for this over and over again. Jonathan Chait, I do want to slip this in. I can't find it in my notes. I feel really bad. But Jonathan,
that's okay. I'm going to read this tweet while you find it. There's a tweet from Hesiod Theogony who says, Democrats need to put the most conniving, vicious, knife fighting political motherfuckers they can in congressional leadership positions.
Yes, they do. Yeah, absolutely. They do. Yeah. That's, yeah.
And let's take a moment too. I want to go back to this win while you're finding that.
I found it.
This win in New York. Yeah. I just want to talk about generational change. Yeah. We are long overdue for a generational shift to younger leadership in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say it. That is not a question of establishment versus outsider. That is not a question of tearing down the Democratic Party and replacing it with the Tea Party left coalition. Right. Yes, these younger people are going to appear more liberal. But what to me, and you and I have talked about this for weeks mm-hmm. now, to me, what I'm seeing is a return to the Democratic values of Franklin Delano Roosevelt mm-hmm. and Harry Truman.
Yep.
And that is not new.
No.
That is not radical.
No.
That is not something we need to fear. People who like their tax cuts for millionaires, yeah, they ought to fear
sure.
it. But that's the other problem I think we have is people that are talking to us on the television, for the most part, like their tax cuts. And I think there should be a little disclosure on that.
And for
anyway.
The most part, they have no idea what's going on in the country at all. These are
exactly.
people who haven't knocked on a door in 20 mm-hmm. years, have mm-hmm. not been in contact with the average voter, not the average Trump voter, which they go out on safari and talk to those people every 3 days. But these people literally live in a tiny enclosed walled city in mm-hmm. Washington mm-hmm. And DC and DC and New York.
Yeah. And New York.
And
yeah.
they never leave. I mean, they leave physically. They go talk. They go lecture on campuses that are just like them. They go to TED Talks, but they really have no idea what's going on in the country. And their views and their perspectives are decades out of date. And they want it to be both sides. They want it to be 1977. Yeah. They want it to be the way it was when they were the mm-hmm. age of the people.
Who are going to take
right.
over.
This is the piece by Jonathan Chait. Just want to talk the title, because the reason that this gets enabled, the way this gets enabled, is by willfully forgetting the past. We do mention that almost to a fault here on the Professional Love Podcast, but it's true. The idea, the only way these people get away with this shit is by pretending that the past never happened. There's nothing to compare it to. There's nothing to compare Trump to, because Obama never happened and Bush certainly never happened. And Jonathan Chait's hot take on the state of the GOP is Trump turned the Republican Party into a cult of personality. Could Democrats do the same?
Uh-huh.
Which is wrong on a nearly infinite number of levels. But the specific one I want to dial into is Trump did not turn the Republican Party into a cult of personality, you vaunts. Did you forget all the action figures, the George Bush action figures that were everywhere? Did you forget the worshipful behavior of the Republican Party when George Bush was lying us into the wrong war? Did you forget that the Dixie Chicks were driven nearly out of business by the right dropping a house on them because they said 12 mean words about George Bush? The Republican Party has been a cult of personality for a very long time. When they're out of power, the cult of personality looks like Glenn Beck. When they're in power, it looks like George W. Bush. So yeah. the idea that this all just happened yesterday and it's a complete surprise to everyone is something that should, in a healthy democracy, be disqualifying for anyone who makes a living writing this shit. But it's the lie they want to believe. It's the lie that keeps them from going down to the basement and turning on the gas. Because if it's not true, if the Republican Party has been this fucked up for decades – and they have been lying about it to you and me, then there mm-hmm. will come a price one day for them to pay. There is going to come such a backlash against the people who've been enabling this, not the Republicans.
Yeah.
The centrist assholes who make a fine fucking living enabling this nonsense, that you're not going to believe it. It's going to be very bad for them. They're not going to find jobs anywhere once we get back into power. And that's my personal mission, is to make sure that people who've been making a living by their pen, by their writing, enabling this nonsense, are unemployable in their golden years, because their ideology has to be put aside, because it's the centrist straddlers, the people who tell you that it's always both sides all the time. They're the real problem. Without them, the right would disintegrate.
And I really think there's no audience for that BS with the youth today.
There really is.
Who have survived shootings, who have dealt with a job market that is not welcoming to them, who have incredible educational debt and want to own the future and see it. They see, because it's easy to see, where the wealth is in this country.
It's all in one place.
And who is controlling it, everything.
Well, if you are really fussy about courtesy class, then don't listen to the music that anyone under the age of 22 listens to, because you will be shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked. I sing along with this stuff now because it's just in my ear.
Oh, well, and if you think that there should be white music for white people and black music for black people, then yeah, you do not want to be listening to the music that our kids listen to all day long. It is just multicultural, multiracial, and it is
blunt.
In a way, blunt. That's the word I'm looking for. Blunt. Yep. Okay. Driftglass, let's do a news roundup.
Because this was a huge week of news. I want to start with just the top to point out that Donald Trump wants the hell out of NATO. He wants to shut down. He wants to break up the World Trade Organization. And just tweeting in the last couple of days, he's sending the clearest possible signal to his sponsor in the Kremlin.
He's a Russian plant.
That he's a Russian plant. I mean, really, just interference never happened. Russia says it didn't happen. What about corrupt Hillary? Is as clear a message, not just to his sponsor in the Kremlin, but to his base and to the scumbag Republican Party in the Congress who enables every one of his atrocities, that you either get with the program or I will bury you. And that's the point. He is the mob, and the mob is Trump, and the mob is now the Republican Party. And everyone in Congress right now is so desperate to hold on to their jobs, they will do whatever the mob wants them to do.
Right.
And that is an incredibly dangerous thing when the person who is controlling events is 9,000 miles away in the Kremlin. Mm-hmm. So, news roundup. What have we done this week, Blue Gal? Well, I know that – I don't have the headline in front of me, but I know that Donald Trump has lied about the remains of U.S. soldiers coming back from North Korea. Because is there any lie he won't tell? All lies are equal, really, because they're all just – you know, temporary holding measures to get to the next lie.
The lie I wrote about today that wasn't from Trump, because I can't deal with it anymore. Yeah. Larry Kudlow this morning on what we at Crooks and Liars call the Money Honey Show. It's Mornings with Maria Bartiromo.
Yes.
He said that the deficit is going down zippy fast. The deficit's just dropping and growth is making it happen. And we're just great. It's just terrific. And I went on Twitter and found all of these blue checkmark economist writers writing, yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, and just that's a lie. And not only is that a lie, but 48 hours ago, the CBO had their numbers out and you aren't even a part of this conversation anymore, Larry. Mm-hmm. That's what I wrote about. I said the markets don't even care anymore that the chairman of the Joint Economic Advisers just lies about the deficit. They just have to ignore that and move on.
Right. They have baked it into their calculus.
He is ridiculous, and they are pointing out he's ridiculous and he's lying. But then they just move on because he's irrelevant. He's only talking to Donald Trump. That's the only person that matters, and his stupid base, and that's it. But here are two things. One is Maria Bartiromo just went on to the next question.
Yeah.
Are we looking at a recession in 2020? You know, as if she is there to fill 5 minutes. That's it.
Right.
But the other thing, CBS News on their website did a title, and the title of the article about Larry Kudlow lying was, Larry Kudlow claims deficit is dropping. Government disagrees.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think about that for a minute.
Yeah. What, wait a minute. Aren't you in this instance?
Who's the government? Who's the government? And the fact is, there is no governing going on. This is and let's get the good news out as well right now, because within the past hour there has been some good news. A federal judge has ruled that no, the Donald Trump administration cannot just put a work requirement on Medicaid. He blocked the Trump administration's approval of a work requirement for Medicaid ruling. The administration was arbitrary and capricious. I'm reading from Topher Spiro's tweets. Specifically, the Trump administration failed to consider Kentucky's own estimate that more than 95,000 people would lose coverage. And these people are handicapped, okay? These people are disabled. These are people are parents of children with medical needs. And the Trump administration, you know, gave a superficial consideration. Yeah. You know, the coverage will be impacted a little bit, whatever. And then the court has to decide whether the Trump administration is just making up those numbers. And this is the week when you and I talked about, and again, this is hard to talk about, and we're rallying on this tomorrow. I'm taking a box of tissues with me to the rally. We're talking about migrant family separation and reunifying these kids with their parents. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked several times this week about why would we trust the Trump administration to say that they've unified 500 families or 5,000 families or 5 million families? Why would we trust them at all when Larry Kudlow just says, oh, yeah, the deficit's going away?
No, they lie all the time about everything. So the default setting for your for interpreting anything that anyone from the Trump administration is saying about anything is they're lying. They're lying. Right. And unless they are willing to go under oath and have a lie detector strapped to their chest, I presume they're lying, because this really is just the aggregation, the collection of misfits and looters and liars and demagogues. That is what the bunker of the Third Reich looked like before the Russians hit it. I mean, these are the dregs of the dregs, and the mob is still with them. But your default setting has to be whatever they're saying, they're lying. Some which way they're lying, and you're going to be right 90% of the time. So you know what? Go ahead and make that your default assumption. When you hear them say that everything, whatever's going great is going bad, whatever's going bad is going great. We're going to tax Harley Davidson out of existence. Carrier is going to be wonderful. Your healthcare, the new healthcare is going to cost a fraction of the cost. It'll be great. Everybody will be covered. Don't worry about it. Everything they say is a lie. And anyone who's on their side is the enemy, period. Full stop. By the way, I do have a quick announcement. I looked over my shoulder, which was a mistake, at the TV, which is muted. And I just saw Chuck Todd and Bill Kristol on MSNBC, and the chyron is Dems in disarray over SCOTUS strategy. Now, there are so many things wrong with that. First of all, that Bill Kristol has a job anywhere, but that is an artifact of deliberately obliterating the past, of just deciding as a corporate decision that the Bush administration, the Iraq war, never fucking happened. Barack Obama never fucking happened. Chuck Todd's entire depraved history never happened. We're just going to stick these assholes on TV, put them in suits, put a chyron under them, and the audience simply won't know that these are absolutely uncredible monsters who are spouting what we want them to say now. The current party line is going to be Dems in disarray. But I mean, I couldn't have timed it better, because that's the news. That's the liberal news, Blue Gal. One thing the Trump administration is good at is planning parades, apparently, because don't worry, planning for that military parade is finally getting underway, which is great. I do want to mention that one person who did, in fact, rip the New York Times this week for their incredibly bad coverage of a whole bunch of stories was the former public editor of the New York Times, Jill Abramson.
Yeah, she did.
She said, you know, I don't like to talk shit about my former employer, but holy shit, guys, this is really bad. She just went down story after story after story of them just completely. And maybe, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, Blue Gal. Maybe laying off hundreds of actual journalists while keeping dregs like, I don't know, David Brooks and Barry Weiss and Stephen Foster, I want to say, but that can't be right. Maybe the balance needs to be rebalanced in favor of actually digging into the news and reporting the news and not making sure that David Brooks never has to work another day in his life. Just saying. That might be a strategy that they might want to think about. Mm-hmm. She sounded like a liberal blogger, Blue Gal. A liberal blogger from 2007, yeah. But sure, a liberal blogger.
She did. And I was grateful, too, that, you know, while all these people on the left who have bylines places channel Drift Class they on do. A regular basis.
They do. I do get a lot of emails saying so-and-so went full Drift Class, so-and-so went full. Here's a whole thread of people. And it's great. It's bylined. I'm thrilled when Paul Krugman, you know, steals my stuff.
Well, I just noted that Michelle Goldberg went full Blue Gal this week.
Yes, she did.
It was about civility and how it's not our responsibility as liberals to make sure that I'm an independent votes the right way but won't vote our way because we're too shrill and profane.
And that is incredibly reassuring because there is a consensus forming, at least among people who have access to a media big enough to talk to other groups of liberals. Like we have a small ability to do that with this podcast. That it's time to give up spending any time or any energy trying to convince or persuade or in any way cajole these people. It's a complete waste of time. You have a limited amount of time and treasure, and you should be spending it on non-voters, on Democrats who haven't voted in a long time, on undecideds, on new voters, on getting people who are just discouraged. Quit trying to persuade the Trump voter or the fence sitter who just can't decide whether Hillary Clinton or an orange tyrant was the better one. So I'm going to vote for the crazy man. Quit talking to those people. Quit acknowledging them. Quit pretending you can persuade them. It's a waste of your time.
I do think at the same time, Drift Class, that standing up for our values is important. And that as you stand up for values, that people accidentally or on purpose may be persuaded that, yes, you are a genuine person who really cares about them personally and wants them to have affordable health care and wants them to have a retirement with dignity and will trust that. I mean, this is something that Joe Biden did in the debates with Paul Ryan of, come on, who do you trust with your Medicare and Social Security? And just calling that out and say, here's the Democratic Party that created these programs and is committed to them. And then go ahead and look up Paul Ryan's paperwork on this and what he's done to Medicare and Social Security, what his dream of reform looks like for you personally. Mm-hmm. And as you stand up for those values, I think you win more than you lose when you do that. So I'm not saying that you need to do that to convince anyone of anything, but you need to stand up for those values and make sure you're continually reiterating how important it is Medicare and Social Security stay where they are.
When you're talking about these things in public,
that'd be expanded.
We have a lot of news to get through and not a lot of time, but for each of these stories, there is a value that attached to it. So for example, when I say Paul Manafort owed $10 million to a Russian oligarch who was sanctioned by the U.S., or that Donald Trump's pick for the IRS owns property in the Trump International Hotel at Waikiki and Tower in Hawaii. The value here is that the people who are running your country should not be financially beholden to foreign powers. The people that are going to audit your taxes should not be financially beholden to the president of the United States, who is a vengeful prick and will use them to destroy his political enemies. Those are values that we have. 92% of Republicans believe the news media frequently and intentionally reports false or misleading stories. We believe in the First Amendment. We believe in the free press. Free and fair press. However, we recognize the fact that the press has hollowed itself out and pissed away an awful lot of its credibility in the pursuit of sucking up to the center. And we really wish they would stop doing it. And for profit. Yeah. Corporate media is media you can't necessarily trust, to be completely honest with you, because they have a definite perspective. The perspective is it has to be both sides. We have to give both people. We have to spread the spotlight around, because if we don't, then half the people in our audience will stop reading our used car ads and buying our carpet. And that can't happen.
Yep. Yep.
In terms of immigration, this was just, mm-hmm. I mean, so many bad things happened this week, but the House rejected the Republican immigration bill on a 301-121 vote, despite a last minute tweet from Donald Trump saying, support it, you asshole, support it. Now, the key to the story is this is the same week that the same asshole told Republicans to stop wasting their time on immigration until after midterms.
Exactly.
And whichever position you take, yeah. I mean, Tuesday Donald Trump and Thursday Donald Trump don't even talk to each other anymore. But one thing is obvious, and that's Barack Obama's to blame, Blue Gal.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And Republicans don't want to pass anything on immigration ever. Let's be clear. They like the broken system because the broken system allows them to win with their base. And that's it. So we do not. I'm going to say this, and this is going to totally destroy any future political career I might have in elected office. We don't let enough Mexicans into the United States legally.
No, we don't.
Period. We don't.
We sure as hell don't.
And by the way, it's negative. It's negative import at this point. The numbers of Mexicans leaving the United States, Mexican migrants leaving the United States and going back to Mexico and those coming in, it's a negative number. And no one wants to hear that on the right. Okay. Drip Glass, we are running out of time, so let's roll through the rest of them.
I'll do one more. Bill Shine, who is a former Fox News executive and friend to Fox News sexual predators everywhere, is expected to be the next White House communications director because – and. Bill Shine was so shitty that he was fired from Fox News and he is friends with Sean Hannity. So that's exactly who you want standing behind that podium once Sarah Huckabee Sanders is put out to pasture, feeding lies to the American people.
And Driftglass, read the last two on our notes because they are local Illinois stories.
Yes, they are. I do want to mention that Trump lied 103 times last week. This is a new record for him.
Oh, wow, cool.
And we're not going to talk about your cotton picking mind or anything else. There's a bunch of news out there, and we're sorry we can't put it all in 1 hour show once a week, but we try to give you the bigger message. The bigger message, there's two of them. Number one, the Supreme Court case, the Janus case, or I'm pronouncing it wrong,
Janus,
was brought by Bruce Rauner, our governor,
who is going to lose his race for reelection. Yes, he is.
And this is the union busting Supreme Court case that says the public sector workers can't be required to pay dues despite being represented by the unions in collective bargaining negotiations. It is specifically designed to break the last vestige of organized labor in this country on behalf of corporations and rich individuals.
And it is not going to work with the teachers union. That's for sure.
And Bruce Rauner is both a corporation and a rich individual. So no surprise there that Governor Hedge Fund is the guy who kicked this ball off. And this is why Supreme Courts matter, as if you had to be told that.
Driftglass, the governor's mansion, you know, we're six blocks from the governor's mansion here in Springfield, Illinois. And it's all ripped up. The landscaping is all ripped up outside of it. They're putting a park next door and they're doing a lot of work and they tore down a building. They're doing all kinds of stuff to make the governor's mansion to fix the landscaping. And we were driving by with middle child about a month ago. And she looked out the window and she said, "That's a governor's mansion, right?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "It's nice they're fixing up the yard for the new governor's coming in November."
Yeah.
So 15-year-old gets it in all kinds of ways. And then tell me about this. This is restaurant news, right?
It is big restaurant news. The Replay Lincoln Park Bar in Chicago, my former hometown, Chicago, has banned MAGA hats inside of its establishment in an effort to maintain what it calls a classy environment.
Classy.
Yeah.
It's not classy to wear a MAGA hat. No, it's not.
No, only...
Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. But this week, we got something special for you, folks, for the 4th of July. This week's, we have an internet gecko. And this internet gecko's name is Wilson. You got to go visit Wilson at our Facebook page and website. Wilson is awesome. You'll just love him. He's a little thing. Don't weigh very much, but packs a punch. He's got a lot of personality. Go see Wilson at our Facebook page and website. You can send your internet kitty or whatever other animal you want to send to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Do put the word kitty in your subject line so that I can find your email because I need to search for them by something. And so kitty is what I'm going to use. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. And I want to thank everyone who's gone over to our Patreon page. We are getting really close to our goal there. Mm-hmm. We would like to have $1,000 a month from Patreon. That replaces the job that we had a layoff in our house this summer.
Yes, we did.
And $1,000 a month will cover that paycheck. And so if you want to give a paycheck to the podcast, consider $5 a month through Patreon. And that is something that we can then count on as having replaced that paycheck. And it will help our family budget quite a bit. Thank you very much. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We've got everything in there. PayPal, postal address information. You can write to us on a with a stamp. There we have our address. You have our Patreon, our GoFundMe, every way that you would like to support us. You can even buy swag there.
You can buy swag.
We have Both Sides Don't stuff, guys. You can buy it all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter or other social media. And thank you so much for doing that. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We love you so much. Big hugs. Yes, I know it's been a very tough week. People have lost sleep. People have had to go to the liquor store. People have had stress. And I've been sick. And the Supreme Court sucks. And you know, we just love you guys. And it's going to we're going to I'm not going to say it's going to be OK. It's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
But we're going to fight and we're going to fight together. And that's what I have to say about that. We love you guys. You guys mean so much to us. Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties think that the People for the Ethical Treatment of Sarah Huckabee Sanders is probably not a real thing.
Let's think about living. Think about living. Let's think about loving. Think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.